Hi, everyone. This is Lori Moylove with the Limitless Podcast, and I have amazing Becky Kakula here with me to tell you all about her story and her path to creativity. Some of her journey, and this is how I met Becky, was at CAA, Creative Artist Agency, where she worked under many desks. She worked in the marketing department and also in comedy. Then she worked at CBS as in the casting department, and then also at SAG-AFTRA. And now you're working at an amazing organization and company as a director of the Disability Equality Index. And I was wondering, can you tell us a little bit more about what that is and how your kind of path shaped?
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. So yeah. Since we're in a virtual world, it may be hard to tell whether you're looking at me through YouTube or listening to me on the podcast. I am a person with dwarfism, meaning I stand 4 feet tall as an adult. That also means that I have a physical disability. So I proudly identify as someone who's part of the disability community. A disability is defined as a physical or mental impairment that affects one or more of life's major activities. So the things that are affected are how I drive a car. I have to use pedal extensions, how I wear clothes, I may have to alter them, have a tailor help me with that, how I reach things in my kitchen or other areas of my house, I need to use a step stool. Sometimes I may need a hand reacher to reach other things. It may be challenging for me to reach the sink in public places or even reach the toilet in a bathroom. So these are all things I need to figure out and challenges that I'm willing to figure out, but it also allows me to bring a different perspective to the world. And the perspective that I am trying to bring in the career path that I've chosen is trying to make things easier for those who come after me, those other people with disabilities who may not have the strength to speak up or advocate on their own behalf. Let's try to pave the way to make life easier. So my strategy with working in the entertainment industry and some of those jobs earlier on in my career were to try to change how people like me are treated in society. And the easiest way to do that is change what we consume in entertainment and news media. If there are positive portrayals, you're going to treat me in a respectful way, most likely, because that's what you saw last, someone like me as a human being. But if you see negative portrayals, little people historically have been perceived as elves, leprechauns, all of those fictional type characters, you may act fearful in my presence because that's all the knowledge you have, basing it off of what you saw previously. Because there are only 30,000 people with dwarfism in the country, I always tell people that you could put us in a big university and you would not see another little person anywhere around in the country because we'd all be in that one place because there are only that many of us. This also means that a lot of people with dwarfism are born into families that have no history of dwarfism. So sometimes when it comes to a parent deciding whether or not to take their child home because of the dwarfism diagnosis, it's impacted by what they previously consumed in media. So I was so hung up on trying to figure out how to change perceptions in media. I wanted to get experience first. I was a marketing major in college, so it made sense for me to start in the marketing department. And then I learned a little bit about comedy in the comedy touring department. It was an interesting challenge when I would go out to comedy shows because people would point me out of a crowd, and comedians, they would always find ways to make fun of me. And if it was in a tasteful way, because we always say some comedians are equal opportunity offenders, or if it was in a distasteful way, that would be included in my notes that I would then give back to the agents. So it was good to have that perspective and bring that point of view to the talent that someone may or may not have. But I still saw a lot of hesitation. The industry is very box office number focused, very focused on let's not change anything or let's not challenge someone's perception. At least this point in time, this was about 10 years ago before a lot of these diversity and inclusion conversations. And I just got a little frustrated because I would try to make a suggestion about maybe some changes that could be more inclusive of people with disabilities. And there was always pushback because nobody wanted to ruffle the waters. If a writer wrote something specific of we're looking for a doctor, everyone assumes it's a white person who's a doctor without a disability. They're not willing to think outside the box unless it specifically says we're looking for a person who uses a wheelchair. And even a lot of times those roles are filled with people who don't have an experience of using a wheelchair because I want to get those name actors in order to drive more box office numbers. So as I started learning that that was the focus and it was going to take a long time and I'm only on this planet for a certain amount of time, I made a shift and I started doing public speaking. So I moved, I grew up in on the East Coast. I moved to the West Coast after college and then moved back to the East Coast, lived at home for a little bit, started sharing my story anywhere and everywhere, anyone who would be willing to hear my story. I did kind of put up my own stigma that I had on myself, thinking I only was an assistant in Hollywood. Why would anyone want to listen to me? I don't really have much of a story, but my family and those around me in the community supported me and reminded me that I had a story. There was more to my life than just how far I made it my career so far. And I was able to talk about my childhood and the accommodations I had growing up and then the accommodations I recommend for the workplace that worked for me during that time. And after I was speaking for a while, I was asked to do a TEDx talk and I was also asked to move to New York to work for the Actors Union and Diversity Department. And that was where I really learned about the importance of diversity and inclusion, trying to encourage the industry to be a little bit more inclusive of people from all different types of backgrounds. And after 3.5 years of doing that, I started working where I work now. It's an organization that supports business on their disability inclusion journey. There is crossover with the entertainment companies, but I think one of the biggest challenges that we continue to face is that society doesn't perceive people with disabilities to be in creative roles. I love that this podcast is about creativity. Yeah. It's a people assume that maybe there are some roles for them at the entry level accountant, HR,
analyst type role. I know some of the most creative people that you know have disabilities, and I'm just like, psh, what?
So there's still that gap that hopefully the experience that I've had in the past can help kind of bring Bridget. That more together. But we were having the conversation earlier about the industry coming to me now to asking for questions. I like that I am the go-to person that people think to come to, people who maybe were a lot higher up and didn't have time for me when I was earlier on in my career. But I think the most important thing is for me to continue to keep an open door to get people educated so other people don't have to have the experience I had when I was starting out.
Yeah. Wow. I think that's so amazing. Like, you know, sharing your story and all the challenges. I even was reading that like you in the beginning of your career, you were applying to so many jobs and so many interviews. So I'm just like, wow, it just kind of goes to show, you know, just persevering through those challenges. And the question I have for you with the TED talk you had was you really kind of talk about fear. And I wanted to know like some of that correlation with fear and creativity. Like, can you kind of dive into that? Like how those coincide?
One of the exercises I did recently, it's within the past few years, was I had to come up with a 2-minute video. Cause as we know, people don't really have patience for more than quick video clips. And I was trying to find a way to really get across the point that we shouldn't be fearful of people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. But I did a comparison to how people feel around celebrities. Mm-hmm. I think there's a similar feeling of you don't think of people with disabilities or celebrities as human beings. You don't think to treat them as human beings. You either think of them as like a much higher level or a lot less than lower. So I think the fear is that it's fear of the unknown. It's fear of not knowing whether or not it's going to be a good outcome if you interact with that person. Mm-hmm. What I would do with my interaction with famous people, especially while working at CAA, and just kind of going back to the interview question, CAA, I was a temporary employee for 7 months before I was taken seriously to be a full-time employee. And before that, I had had 100 interviews and a few temporary job assignments, but it took a temporary placement agency to place me at CAA, worked there for seven months to then be taken seriously as an employee. And it was a journey.
Yeah.
But I think the fear is people were fearful to ask the questions that were on their mind that were preventing them from hiring me. nobody told me that I was doing a terrible job interviewing. It's very possible. Up to 4 interviews a day, driving in LA traffic. Mm-hmm. It's possible I was terrible at interviewing, but nobody told me that. So I was assuming that because of my disability was why I didn't get the job.
Wow. Yeah.
And until people tell you otherwise, you're going to continue to assume that.
Yeah.
So I think people are fearful to address the topic. They worry about terminology. Mm-hmm. They're afraid of offending. Mm-hmm. But avoiding us and putting us off to the side makes things harder. Yeah. And then once someone experiences disability, I think even everyone I worked with probably has disability somewhere in their family or friends, mm-hmm. but they're afraid to talk about it because they see how people with physical disabilities are treated in society, mm-hmm. and they don't want to have that same experience.
Yeah. Wow. So yeah.
It's just fear of not knowing what you're, it's almost like you don't know what you're fearful of because you're not addressing the topic.
Yeah. Wow. I never even like thought of it that way. It's like, okay, you know, like if you have a fear and it's the fear of spiders or snakes, at least like, you know, like where it's like, it's a little bit more unknown. And so yeah. It's like, my question is how creatively, like you were saying, like this 2-minute video, like how creatively kind of do you push past those barriers of that fear? Like whether even, and that can coincide with an artist who's maybe working on a painting, a poet who's working on some poetry to share, or a storyteller kind of sharing their story through film. How do you break past that, like the unknown fear and so that you can like share?
I think it's challenging yourself. Ask yourself the questions of why am I fearful? What's getting in the way of me doing what I'm passionate about? Why am I not just interacting with that person and asking questions? Mm-hmm. I tell people, ask questions and don't make assumptions. Because if you come up to me and ask questions, we'll start to find out that we have a lot more in common than uncommon. Mm.
Yeah. It's so true. Like, you know, I think people come up with assumptions and they're afraid to ask questions. So then they just like, they don't ask. And then they have this story or narrative in their mind and they're just like, okay, well, you could just go directly to the person and ask, you know, and at least like start a conversation. Cause I feel like, especially in entertainment for sure, like it's always conversations. I feel like it's always about the call. Like you get a call and that could be a gig, that could be, you know, another opportunity, another engagement, you know, it's very true. Wow.
And that's why I said, that's why I keep my door open and do not hold grudges, allow people to learn, give them time to process and ask me the questions. If you're afraid to ask that person in the community, I'm happy to explain. And that's what I do with a lot of my speaking. I'll go into schools when it's safe to do so physically, where a parent may be concerned about their child with a disability who's transitioning from elementary to middle school. And in middle school, it's multiple elementary schools come together. So they're going to meet a lot of new people who they haven't met before. And that runs the risk of getting bullied just because of the fear of the unknown. And I'll go in, share my story, have the kids ask me the tough questions with hope that that makes for a smoother transition. And I think it takes just having someone in the community educate to then promote better behavior in the future.
Yeah, wow. That's amazing and so powerful of a tool to share, because I feel like especially those kids, like I can go back to my high school, middle school days and I've been bullied, you know, like it's crazy, you know, during those teenage years or younger years, and knowing how to handle that. And I think even with creatives and in the creative space, like we when you release something, whatever that is in any creative form, like there's that, you know, hesitation and I guess that unknown fear. And that kind of coincides with this is, you know, you just kind of have to go for it or like, you know, share or ask the questions so that you can kind of get to that destination, whether it's like, okay, how do I edit this to look a certain way in a story of a film or even just relationship wise of finding out. My question for you, Becky, is what do you do creatively like currently? And, you know, how do you express yourself creatively?
I wish I had better answers because I want to have more goals for the new year.
You got this. You're already slaying the new year.
I am a new mom.
So congrats. And that's amazing.
Thank you. So that's taking
that's
up
a handful right there.
I have that app, the 1 second a day video. So I've tried to take 1 second every day. He just turned 5 months. So I'm hoping that I continue with that and make that's a really fun. Good video from that.
Oh, I can't wait to see that. You'll have to share it so I can put it on a website for our listeners.
Absolutely. Once that'll be done in August. But okay. I would say creatively, it's really just been trying to get my mind going. I've thought about writing a book, which I need to put it out into the universe.
You're going to do that easy. We got you over here on the Limitless podcast.
I have one titled Just Call Me Becky because people get so caught up on terminology. It's like it's ruining the ability for us to have a relationship, get to know me as a person, and then we can talk about terminology or whatever you want to discuss. Mm-hmm. And then I've also thought about a book kind of for my son called his name is Jackson, and something along the lines of letters where people can share maybe what their disability is and why maybe they didn't disclose their disability earlier than they wish they did, with hopes that more children can figure out how to embrace disability at a young age. I think it ends up impacting other parts of your life if you aren't able to embrace it and be around people you can trust and talk about it to earlier on in life. For me, having a physical disability, I haven't been able to hide my disability my whole life. And there's also a stigma around the word disability. People kind of jump from it or try to say different ability or anything but. But if we strengthen the word and prove that people are able to do great things in life, regardless of their disability, it's just a part of who they are, I think we can get a lot further. So I think writing and getting more content out there to prove that disability is not a bad thing is one of my biggest goals.
Wow. I went to this conference, it's the Abilities Expo, and they said this statement called taking the dis out of disability. And I really like that resonated with me because I'm just like, you know, the truth is we put this stigma out there that like disability like is, you know, could be have this negative undertone, but I feel like there's such beauty in perspective and understanding. And once you kind of have understanding of another person's perspective and how they live or some of the challenges that they have just on a daily basis, kind of just like what you were talking about, like, you know, just, you know, certain things that I just grab something from a shelf and it might be a little bit easier for me versus you, and just having that perspective and understanding for it.
Yeah, the problem solving ability is real. It's figuring out, even when I get up in the morning, making sure the step stool next to my bed is well placed so I don't fall to the ground, make sure I can reach the sink in order to wash my hands and brush my teeth, being able to reach the toilet, then making iced coffee and breakfast in the morning, making sure I have enough step stools to get to each station of the kitchen, and then getting outside, going in the car, making sure the pedal extensions are securely fastened before even getting the seatbelt on, and maybe needing to park closer to a venue because cars that are coming into a parking lot won't be able to see me. So I have to worry about the safety thing. It's just all those things you have to think of that you have lists, and it shouldn't prevent you from living or going out into the world, but it allows you to bring those skills to any environment you're in, any team, any thought process that may come from those experiences.
I have a random question for you, but it's a fun one. Is I know you have a new little one, Jackson, you said, and what are some creative things that you're going to like throw him into? Are you going to get him into painting, music, art, drawing? Like, what are some of the things, like as a new mom, like things you're excited to explore?
I want him to do everything. I've never been good at singing, but it's like you make up songs and you figure it out. You do whatever will get him excited. It's funny. I started sticking my tongue out at him just to make him laugh. And now he's starting to react and do the same back to me, but like, he better not start.
Oh no.
But I would love for him to get into art. I've always been really big into photography, so I'd love for him to really like taking pictures, but that'll be a little further down the line. Really, anything that he wants to do, I think, would be awesome. Like, even if we got him into a dance class or whatever he may be interested in, I'm happy to support.
Now, I mean, you've inspired me from our talk here today. And I was wondering, you know, for our listeners, how can they kind of reach out to you? How can they get in touch? How do they stay inspired by Becky? Like, is this, you know, do they go to your website? Can they reach out to you? How can some of our listeners reach out?
Yes. So I go by the brand Becky Motivates.
Okay.
BeckyMotivates.com is my website. And a lot of my social media handles are Becky Motivates. I know they'll put in the notes just the link that they could get to all my social media, but most of it's Becky Motivates or Becky Kakula through some of the LinkedIn, Facebook type avenues.
And what's one word? So I love to end it off with one word. And what's one word that for you that kind of like touches you about creativity, inspiration, all that? What would one word be in the creative space that you would love to share with our listeners?
Determination.
Determination. I love that. That's a powerful word. Well, I guess to all of our amazing listeners on the Limitless Podcast, stay determined. Keep that determination. And I hope Becky motivated you today to keep creative. And thank you so much, Becky, for being on the podcast. We love having
you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you. Take care.